Blog Talk Radio.
Prepare yourself. Gird up your loins with truth. If not us, who? If not now, when? Now is the time to what do you expect from a Catholic defender? Deeper truth.
And welcome to Deeper Truth. Stand in the gap with us. And St. Francis of Rome and her story begins now. Hope everything from the mercy of God. It is as boundless as his power. St. Francis of Rome is known to have said, a married woman must often leave God at the altar to find him in her household care. It is most laudable in a married woman to be devout, but she must never forget that she is a housewife, and sometimes she must leave God at the altar to find him in her housekeeping. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And this is coming from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. All the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of a single candle. Saint Francis of Assisi said that. Remember, when you leave this earth, you can take with you nothing, that you have received only what you have given, a full heart, enriched by honest service, love, sacrifice, and courage. And so, Saint Francis of Rome, she is uniquely tied to St. Francis of Assisi. And so she often is found quoting St. Francis of Assisi. And St. Francis of Rome is inclusive, welcoming Catholic families, challenging ourselves to seek, experience, and share the loving presence of God. Be ever more convinced that your guardian angel is really present, that he is ever at your side. St. Francis of Rome always saw him standing before her, his arms clasped at his breast, his eyes uplifted to heaven. But at the slightest failing, he would cover his face as if in shame, and at times turn his back to her. Make yourself familiar with the angels and behold them frequently without being seen. They are present with you. Holy guardian angels, when sorrows and misfortunes, physical or spiritual, afflict you, turn to your guardian angel with strong trust, and he will help you. And that's coming from St. John Bosco. You see how these blessed saints work together? Each man has an angel guardian appointed to him. Angel guardians are given to man also as regards invisible and secret things concerning the salvation of each one of his in his own regard. Hence, individual angels are appointed to guard individual men. And that's coming from St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor. And this is rich. The angels in heaven were created to be servants of Christ. Man was formed from the earth in order to be the image of Christ. And that's from St. Lawrence of Brundust. He's an apostolic doctor of the church. Beside each believer stands an angel as protector and shepherd, leading him to life. And that's coming from St. Basil the Great, father and doctor of the church. You notice what a lot of these our doctors of the church are saying about guardian angels? Holy guardian angels, pray for us. When tempted, turn immediately to your guardian angel and ask him with all your heart, "My guardian angel, help me now. Do not let me offend my God." And that's, again, St. John Bosco. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 20, "See, I am sending an angel before you to guard you on the way, to bring you to the place I have prepared." And St. Vincent Ferrer, he said, "Let us be like the holy angels now. If one day we are to be in the angelic court, we must learn now, while we are still here, the manners of the angels." Wow. In the visions of St. Francis of Rome, hell, purgatory, and heaven revealed. There is much about this great saint. The torments of the damned seen by St. Francis of Rome should make you tremble. And that's not pleasant to look at this kind of reading material, but it is very beneficial. St. Francis of Rome. Lord, we thank you for the life of this precious saint. Francis' life combines aspects of secular and religious life, a devoted and loving wife. And you notice how much she is stressed about wives and housewives and finding God in their work, in their housework, and taking care of their family. She has much to say about that, and she stresses on that. She was a devoted and loving wife. She longed for a lifestyle of prayer and service. So she organized a group of women to minister to the needs of Rome's poor. Born of wealthy parents, Frances found herself attracted to the religious life during her youth. But her parents objected, and a young nobleman was selected to be her husband. As she became acquainted with her new relatives, Frances soon discovered that the wife of her husband's brother was also wished to live a life of service and prayer. So the two of them set out together, and their husbands, with their husband's blessings, to help the poor. Frances fell ill for a time, but this apparently only deepened her commitment to the suffering people she met. The years passed, and Frances gave birth to two sons and a daughter with the new responsibilities of family life. The young mother turned her attention more to the needs of her own household. Frances collapsed from the strain for months. She lay close to death, unable to eat or move or speak. At her worst, she had a vision of St. Alexis, the son of a noble family. Alexis had run away to beg rather than marry. And after years of begging, he was so unrecognizable that when he returned home, his own father thought he was just another beggar and made him sleep under the stairs. In her own way, Frances must have felt unrecognized by her family. They couldn't see how she wanted to give up everything for Jesus. Very much like St. John of God, St. John of the Cross. St. Alexis told her God was giving her an important choice. Did she want to recover or not? And it's hard for us to understand why a 13-year-old would want to die, but Frances was miserable. Finally, she whispered, God's will is mine. The hardest words she could have said, but the right words to set her on the road to sanctity. St. Alexis replied, then you will live to glorify his name. Her recovery was immediate and complete. Lorenzo became even more devoted to her after this. Excuse me. He was even a little in awe of her because of what she'd been through. And the family flourished under Francis' care. But within a few years, a great plague began to sweep across Italy. It struck Rome with devastating cruelty and left Francis' second son dead. in an effort to help alleviate some of the suffering. Frances used all her money and sold her possessions to buy whatever the sick might possibly need. When all the resources had been exhausted, Frances went door to door begging. Later, Frances' daughter died, and the saint opened a section of her house as a hospital. And she had the gifts of miracles and ecstasy, as well as the bodily vision of her guardian angel. Notice how much I put into the guardian angels before this. She had revelations concerning purgatory and hell and foretold the ending of the Western Schism. She could read the secrets of consciences and detect plots of diabolical origin. Frances died 4 years later. Her last words were, "The angel has finished his task. He beckons me to follow him." Saint Francesca Romana founded the Olivetan Oblates of Mary in 1421, a religious order for widowed women that cared for the poor and sick. And despite her piety, she had a dark side too. She was known for her unusual harsh mortifications, including whipping herself with metal chains and burning herself with animal fat. Frances became more and more convinced that this way of life was so necessary for the world, and it was not long before she requested and was given permission to found a society of women bound by no vows. They simply offered themselves to God and to the service of the poor. And once the society was established, Frances chose not to live at the community residence, but rather at home with her husband. She did this for 7 years until her husband passed away, and then came to live the remainder of her life with the society, serving the poorest of the poor. In 1925, Pope Pius XI declared her patron saint of automobile drivers, because of a legend that an angel used to light the road before her with a lantern, keeping her safe from hazards. Wow. In 1925, Pope Pius XI declared her patron saint of automobile drivers because of a legend that an angel used to light the road before her with a lantern, keeping her safe from hazards. Canonized in 1609, Rome, Papal States, by Pope Paul V, Major Shrine Church of Santa Francesca Romana, Rome, Italy. And her feast day is March the 9th, the patronage of the Benedictine Oblates, automobile drivers and widows. She was canonized in 1608 by Pope Paul V. And we thank you, Lord, for the life of this precious saint, dedicated wife and mother who cared for the sick and the poor. And she lived out her life honoring God and recognizing His presence and the angels that she had sent to her and the visions she received reminds us of the importance of heaven and hell and purgatory, that through the sacraments we have the means to bypass hell. And here at Deeper Truth, we boycott hell. And we pray for those in purgatory. And we We are on a pilgrimage with heaven as our focal point. Christ is our center, the center, and the Blessed Virgin Mary. Jesus, I love you. Mother Mary, I love you. And Saint Francis of Rome is calling for us to pray for our priests. All the saints in heaven remind us this important task to pray for our religious. So we pray for our priests.
It is time to pray for our priests, the real men in black.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on.
Without them, there are no sacraments. He counsels you. Who counsels him? He is on the front lines in the war against sin.
I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side.
Now let us join together as we pray for our priests.
I'm the man in black.
Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come. Before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. Joy is prayer. Joy is strength. Joy is love. Joy is a net by which we catch souls. Mary, Mother of Jesus, throw your mantle of purity over our priests. Protect them, guide them, to keep them in your heart. Be a mother to them, especially in times of discouragement and loneliness. Love them and keep them belonging completely to Jesus. Like Jesus, they too are your sons. So keep their hearts pure and virginal. Keep their minds filled with Jesus, so that Jesus always is always on their lips, and that Jesus is the one they offer to sinner and all they meet. Mary, Mother of Jesus, be their mother, loving them and bringing them joy. Mary, bless them and keep a special place for them in your heart. Give them a piece of your heart, so beautiful and pure and immaculate, so full of love and humility, so that they too can grow in the likeness of Christ. Dear Mary, make them humble like you and holy like Jesus. Heavenly Father, grant that our priests be strengthened and healed by the power of the Eucharist they celebrate. And may the word they proclaim give them courage and wisdom. We pray for Pope Francis and all the clergy today around the world. And we pray for all of our bishops, Lord. Lord, may your Holy Spirit grace our bishops with the gifts of wisdom and strength, gentleness and compassion, as our bishops continue to take up their role as our pastors and teachers. And we pray for our deacons, Lord. Lord, give our deacons fertile ground for your inspiration and love. And comfort them, Lord, when they question themselves and their ministry. And we pray for our seminarians, Lord. Lord, give our seminarians the grace to follow you more perfectly. When they are lonely or discouraged, fill them with your peace. Jesus, give our seminarians strength and courage and wisdom, Lord. Fill your church with the spirit of courage and love, and raise up worthy ministers for your altars around the world, Lord. And we pray for our choirs, Lord. Watch over each member of our choirs and help them to never forget that you are the center of our lives. And grant that our choirs who praise you in song be united by your Holy Spirit in a bond of love, that with one mouth and one voice and one heart, they will praise, bless, and worship you, Lord, the light above all lights, the true life, and the salvation of our souls. And we pray for our altar servers, Lord. We pray for those who tend the altar. Those who tend the altar, Lord, we pray for them, Lord. We pray for our altar servers. We pray for their hearts to be pure. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you during the Holy Mass in your sacred presence. Our hearts are filled with joy and peace. And may your Spirit always guide us so we may grow in your love by the grace of the Heavenly Father. Amen. Open our mouths, O Lord, to bless your holy name. Cleanse our hearts from all evil and distracting thoughts. Enlighten our understanding and inflame our will that we may serve worthily at your holy altar, all for the honor and glory of God. Pray for children, Lord. We pray for all children. Because of all the renewed comeback of ancient paganism hitting our society and our politics, children are being threatened. So we pray for our children.
It is time to pray for those who will carry the faith beyond our years. Our
children, children.
You'll have that responsibility children, soon enough, kids. But for now,
run and jump and play. Young, carefree children.
And help them keep their childlike faith.
And the thing that's really sad is that we lose the faith we had when we were children. Loud, proud children.
Lord, you are my hiding place, and under your wings, I can always find refuge. Protect me from trouble wherever I go, and keep evil far from us. No matter where we are, we will look to you as our protector, the one who fights for us every day. Heavenly Father, may our children and grandchildren not fear, for you are with them, their guardian angels. Lord, your word is filled with accounts of miraculous protection, and we claim that power for vulnerable children. And make your little ones invisible to people who seek to exploit them. Saint Joseph, terror of demons, watch over us and care for us just as you cared for the child Jesus. And by your help, may we come to know your Son and so grow in strength and wisdom and the favor of God. Amen. Saint Joseph is the patron saint of the Universal Church. Families, fathers, expectant mothers, travelers. O glorious Saint Joseph, to you, God committed the care of his only begotten Son amid the many dangers of this world. And we come to you and ask you to take under your special protection the children God has given us. Through holy baptism, they became children of God and members of his holy church. O Saint Joseph, do assist us by your powerful intercession and obtain for us from your divine Son all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord. With Saint Francis of Rome and Saint Nicholas and Saint Sebastian and Saint Maria Goretti and Saint Daphna and Saint Philomena, Gianna, and St. Christopher, St. Michael the Archangel, St. Raphael the Archangel, and St. Gabriel the Archangel, St. Monica, and St. Anthony, and all the blessed saints and angels. Lord, you are our children and grandchildren's refuge and fortress, the God in whom they can and should put their trust. And I pray that no evil shall be allowed to befall on our children and grandchildren. No plague will come near their tent. Lord, you are my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. And I will call upon you, Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you very much, and I beg of you to spare the life of the unborn child whom I have spiritually adopted, whose life is in danger of abortion. Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in the day of battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking to ruin his souls. Amen. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you, and I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, nor do not love you. And Lord, I lift up to you the prodigals. Thank you for loving them even more than we do, for watching over them when we can't, and for working to draw them to yourself. And we pray for America, Lord. We pray for our soldiers and veterans. And we ask you to bless the members of our armed forces. Give them courage, hope, and strength. And be their power and protector, leading them from darkness to light. And we pray for the prisoner, Lord. We pray for those resident in prison and their families. And may they be aware of your presence with them. And may your spirit bring them peace and the hope of new life in Jesus Christ. And we pray for those in hospitals. We pray for our police officers. And we pray for our first line responders, our EMTs. And we pray for our hospital nurses and doctors who tend in the hospital. And we pray for those who are sick and ill in the hospital, that the hospital would be a place of healing and hope for all there. And we pray for the poor souls in purgatory, Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. And we pray for those, Lord, who have recently passed. We pray the Holy Rosary for those who have recently passed. Pray the glorious mysteries, focusing on the resurrection and life after death. God our Father, your power brings us to birth. Your providence guides our lives, and your command, and by your command, we return to dust. Lord, those who die still live in your presence. Their lives change, but do not end. I pray and hope for my family, relatives, and friends, and for all those who have recently passed known to you alone. In company with Christ who died and now lives, may they rejoice in your kingdom where all our tears are wiped away, and unite us together again in one family to sing your praise forever and ever. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them, and may they rest in peace. Amen. And may Almighty God bless us with his peace and strength. In the name of the Father, and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the light of Jesus and the angels bring peace and salvation to my parents. And may they rest in peace, knowing that their souls belong to God and God only. No demon, no devil, no principality, no evil spirit has access to their light and salvation. And may Holy Mary, the angels, and all the saints welcome them now that they have gone forth from this life. And may Christ, who was crucified for them, bring them freedom and peace. And may Christ, who died for them, admit them into his garden of paradise. And may Christ, the true shepherd, embrace them as one of his flock. And may he forgive all their sins and set them among those whom he has chosen. And we pray for those who are held back by terrible addictions and who need deliverance from such addictions. And we pray for those, Lord, who are caught in the eye of the storm, those who are contemplating suicide and contemplating abortion. We pray, Lord, that those who feel that there's no other way out will find you, Lord, and find the peace that is beyond all understanding, that they will find you, Lord, and see you to draw them out of the eye of the storm. And Jesus said to them, to his disciples, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he breathed on them, he said this, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And St. Paul would refer to this as the ministry of reconciliation. And so when you go to confession, the Lord takes the sins you confess, and he throws them into the sea of forgetfulness, and he remembers them no more. And you receive a judgment through the priest's absolution. You receive a judgment from Jesus, a judgment of mercy. And he will honor this mercy when you stand before him to face his eternal justice. And he will honor this mercy. So, go to confession. Get yourself right with Christ in his Holy Catholic Church. So go to confession.
Confession!
And what does confession do? It prepares you. It cleanses you so that what Jesus says, Jesus said this, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. So he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, the Eucharist, will live because of me. And this is the bread which came down from heaven, not such as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever." And so when you go to Mass, you receive, by receiving the Eucharist, the actual body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ at Mass in the state of grace. That's what confession helps you do. So go to confession often, a way of life, and avoid sin. Avoid mortal sin especially, but avoid all sin to your best. But when you fall, confession, and go to Mass, and receive our Lord in the Eucharist. It's an invitation, the true altar call. People talk about having altar calls. We have the true, one and only altar call, true altar call. The priests and who conduct and serves the Mass, where the altar is, the sacrifice of the Mass. So our Mass.
Father does a Sunday Mass. His homilies are eloquent, inspiring and relevant. Midweek comes, he's much more brief. Well, he just reads the gospel and then he sits down. Our Mass in the middle of the week. Our Mass in the middle of the Sunday Mass. The music's great. Freddie Dartmouth leads requires, heavenly music takes us high. Monday comes with silent strength. We could surely use his help, but Fred's not around. Our Mass, in the middle of the week. Our Mass, in the middle of the week. Our Mass,
I think you think there must be more to it.
Our Mass, in the middle of the week. Sometimes Mass feels like a race. When Father God gets into it, he gets out in 10 minutes. Afterwards I stick around. I'll pray the liturgy of ours a few minutes more.
No one talks on Sunday school, no coffee, ours inspiring, inviting. Nothing I don't disapprove of, deep inside I feel love is firm and kind. In quiet time, oh so divine, in the daily grind. Father dials at Sunday Mass, he's a hero for a day, teaching sinners how to pray.
could see his midweek face, he would still be pressing on with no one around.
Our mass in the middle of the week. Our mass in the middle of the week. Our mass. This is where we hear God speak. Our mass in the middle of the week. Our mass. It's in Latin and in Greek. Our mass in the middle of the week.
And we should go to Mass often, not just holy days and Sundays, though those are important too. You know, make sure you do. But if you can go during the week, if you can, if you have the ability, you'll find that going to Mass during the week, you'll find it is very peaceful. There's great spiritual benefits in doing so. So we are thankful for the truth of the Holy Catholic Church and in the Eucharist, transubstantiation. St. Francis of Rose, St. Francis of Rome, and all the saints are counting on us to utilize these great sacraments, going to confession and going to Mass and praying the rosary. Pray the rosary. Our Lord and Our Lady grants great promises to those who pray the rosary. So heaven is counting on you. Jesus is counting on you. And Mother Mary is counting on you.
Heaven is counting on you. Run with a heart that is true. Carry the cross, reaching the lost. Heaven is counting on you. We are standing at the end of time. We are part of a grand design. We are grateful to a risen Lord for the others who've gone.
Amen. And tomorrow, we will have St. Dominic Savio standing in the gap with us tomorrow. And today, we thank St. Francis of Rome for being in the gap with us today and her witness and her love for the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the lives of these precious saints. And so we will close now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Lord, may your blessings flow upon us, your grace, and may we respond to your love with our love. Amen. And we'll see you tomorrow with St. Dominic Savio in the gap. Good day.